Like many new parents, I first became acquainted with the various Baby Shark melodies through autoplay on YouTube. My daughter Maya was only 2 weeks old when we went through a rough bout of colic. I tried to soothe her by rocking, swaddling, and cluster feeding, but nothing worked. On one particularly difficult night, I felt like I was losing my mind, so I searched for baby songs online and just picked up the first playlist that popped up. I continued to walk around the room, rocking her to the rhythm of familiar childhood songs like Twinkle Twinkle Little Star or Itsy Bitsy Spider and others. The playlist didn't stop her from crying, but it cheered me up a little and drowned out my fussy baby's relentless screams. And then something miraculous happened. The slow version of Baby Shark came on, and Maya stopped crying. She gazed up at the ceiling with an odd expression, her tiny mouth twitching a little, first hint of a smile. From that day on, my daughter loved everything Baby Shark, including alternative versions like Halloween Shark, Santa Shark, and so on. It was around this time that my parents took a trip to South Korea. Aside from soaking their bones in the Busan hot springs, they spent a lot of time walking the promenade, exploring unique food stalls and street shops, and at one of these shops, they found a yellow Baby Shark toy. They bought it off the local vendor in a heartbeat, happy to have found a souvenir for their tiny granddaughter. To say that it was love at first sight is to say nothing at all. My daughter's first laugh was at her new plushie friend. She knew who Baby Shark was before she recognized words like Mama and Dada. We sleep-trained her in one night thanks to this soft, pillow-like texture. When she first rolled over, it was to get closer to the toy, because he'd slipped out of reach. My daughter, just over a year old now, and for every major milestone, vacation trip, and family photo session, Baby Shark has never left her side. It was super cute at first. Lots of babies have lovies, and it's a great relief to parents when there's a surefire way to stop crying with a toy or a cartoon. However, I began to notice some weird things about the toy. Like it was almost never where I thought I left it. At first, I didn't pay much attention, because whenever Maya started crying, I'd just be relieved that Baby Shark was within arm's reach. When she grew out of her fussier phase, I realized that he was never in a different room from my daughter. This was weird because I'd picked her up and carry her around to different rooms for diaper changes, for baths, for playtime, and mealtimes. My wife blamed this husband brain I have, and I rationalized it away. Like with all her milestones, we were super excited when Maya first started babbling. But my joy quickly turned to dread when I watched videos of other newborns' first babbles. See, they were all primitive attempts at making puh, buh, noises. My daughter sounded like she was actually talking with an intonation scale. You know, sometimes accompanied by laughter and hand waving. All this at just 4 months. I mean, as you might have guessed, she only ever babbled at Baby Shark. And once again, my wife thought that I was being paranoid. "We have a genius baby and you're just trying to hate," she said. And I kept my suspicions to myself after that. I mean, sometimes I'd check the baby monitor after bedtime and see the toy glowing like a nightlight. You know, only to blink and find everything looking normal a second later. During the day, I'd often felt like I was being watched. Particularly if I went breaking dad, allowing too much screen time, cussing out loud, browsing social media instead of playing with Maya or doing chores. Whenever I did anything like that, I'd feel the usual prickle of, you know, the parent guilt. And then something more sinister. See, I'd look up and I'd see Baby Shark nearby, staring me down. Whenever this happened, small punishments would follow, like I'd stub my toe, or crack my phone screen, or nip myself shaving. It was never serious. And just maybe it was only a coincidence, but it didn't feel like it. You know, I was severely creeped out. Was this some weird hallucinatory strain of depression? I needed to get a grip. Stay-at-home parenting was taking a toll. 2 months ago, my wife went away on a business trip to San Diego. I was so not in the mood to handle a teething baby on my own for a week. I switched on YouTube, I put Maya and Baby Shark in the playpen in front of the TV so that I can get some tidying done. Popping my earpods in, I busied myself with housework while listening to a podcast. I'd check with Maya every 5 to 10 minutes to make sure that everything was okay. She was just fine, entranced by the screen, safely secured in her play area. I'll admit that I took longer to clean than was strictly necessary. I finished up by taking out the trash. Just as I was going back inside, a college friend called me. A girl we'd housed with had just posted a trashy picture on Facebook, and my friend wanted me to see it before it got deleted. And I was glued to my phone for a good 20 minutes after that, gossiping. And when I finally got back to the living room, I felt that familiar pang of guilt. I didn't want to look, but he was right there. Baby Shark's stitched black eyes bore into me, accusing me of being a selfish, inattentive father. I got really angry. Enough was enough. Why was this toy making me get defensive when I did nothing wrong? I grabbed the stupid thing and I took it upstairs to the nursery. I delighted in slamming the toy chest shut on his goofy, toothy grin. I hesitated before going back downstairs, half convinced that I'd find the yellow fiend back on the same spot, but Maya's wails from the living room assured me that she didn't have her friend at her side. My daughter was hysterical, but I'd had enough. This was getting ridiculous. She should be able to get through an evening without a silly shark toy. Maya's attachment to the thing was just unhealthy at this point. After a giant tantrum, she finally calmed down. We had dinner, we took a bath, read her favorite bedtime book, and I put her to bed. Without baby shark, it was like the colic had come back in full swing. I went back downstairs as she screamed and screamed. I decided to let her cry it out just this once. I was furious with baby shark for having so much pull, but I mean, more honestly, I was disgusted with myself and my crappy behavior that morning. After a few minutes of self-reflection, I understood that I was mistreating my daughter because of some utterly bizarre insecurity. I was just about to go back up to the nursery and reunite Maya with her lovey when I glanced at my worst nightmare coming to life on the baby monitor. And no amount of horror movies or scary stories or news reports can prepare you for the sight of your infant child in grave danger. The terror that coursed through my body made me realize that I would endure 1,000 more tantrums, relish in the worst teething nightmares, wash up countless diaper blowouts with a smile on my face if only I could prevent the abduction taking place in front of my eyes. There was a tall, dark figure standing at the foot of the bed, trying to grab Maya as she darted around her crib cot. Luckily, she had already learned to walk while holding on to something, so the intruder was struggling to get a hold of her. There was no time to call for help. I sprinted upstairs into Maya's nursery. Without even thinking, I grabbed the hall lamp and flung it at the stranger's head as soon as I entered the room. I only grazed him, but the distraction caused him to stumble back, buying me a split second to shove the creep further away, grab Maya, and run out. I could feel the pursuer hot at my heels until I got to the head of the stairs and he tripped behind us. The last thing I heard was the man screaming as I ran downstairs and out of the house. I jogged over to the neighbors next door with Maya crying in my arms. The police discovered a peculiar scene in our house. The man was gone, but there were signs of a bloody struggle in the hallway upstairs. I was allowed to go inside and fetch some of Maya's things so we could stay with my parents while the police investigated the crime scene. A senior detective escorted me, asking me elaborate questions about our day. He asked if I'd recognized the man, but I hadn't. I barely gotten a glimpse, and he seemed entirely ordinary. No one I would think about twice if I'd met him on the street. I mean, only after answering all the detective's questions did I realize that I'd forgotten to lock the front door after taking out the trash. The intruder must have slipped inside while I was on the phone, gone upstairs to hide in one of the closets, and what he planned to do from there on is made clear by the content of the bicycle bag that he dropped. Police officers found duct tape, a carving knife, and one of Maya's onesies inside, the one we'd given away to charity weeks ago. A pale-faced young officer emerged from the nursery as the detective and I approached. "You need to see this, sir," he said, swallowing loudly. The detective allowed me to enter the nursery, where two other policemen were laying flat on the floor, shining their torches under Maya's crib cot. A crime scene photographer dropped down to take some shots of the mysterious scene, and as soon as he finished, one of the officers pulled a large, mangled foot out from under the bed. The room fell into hushed amazement. The senior detective looked bewildered. "Does that look like it's been chewed off?" I didn't need to see any more. I quickly gathered Maya's things and I looked for baby shark. And for once, he had remained in the right place, inside the toy trunk. There was a slight difference, though, but I paid it no mind. Nothing a little cold water and ammonia couldn't handle. Cute shark toy, the officer commented as I walked out of the house. I love the blood spatter pattern, he laughed. Thanks, I called back as I went to rejoin my parents and Maya downstairs. This has been Parents Watch Out for Baby Shark by Daria Vasileva. Hey there kids, it's me, Mr. Creepypasta, and thank you for watching tonight's video. I want to talk to you about one quick thing before we get into the real outro here, and that's going to be the Australian fires that are currently taking place. I'm pretty sure everybody has seen on their social media or on the news or what have you about what's taking place in Australia right now. The fires are raging out of control. There's something like 1.5 million acres that are currently on fire. It's pushing animals towards extinction, forcing people out of their homes. Many of them YouTubers and other creepypasta narrators that you probably listen to here. But one thing that actually kind of gets to me is that there's a lot of awareness about what's taking place down there. There's a lot of photos and videos I'm pretty sure that you've all seen, but nobody's really talking about where you can go to be able to donate, to be able to help either firefighters or relief funds or anything like that. And that's what I want to try to bring to you guys, or at least have you guys try to share around, even if you're not able to donate. If you look in the description down below, there's four different links there that I'm going to have on the videos for the next couple of weeks. And hopefully we can, and we, I mean, all of you can be able to share this around, and all of us together can be able to actually get some more eyes on where we can be able to go to help. I mean, yeah, we're a group of people that likes horror stories, horror movies, horror what have you, but I think one thing we can do that's at least powerful for us is we have the ability to minimize the amount of horror in real life. So thank you guys so much for watching or listening. If you're listening to this on the podcast, available on Spotify and on Apple and on SoundCloud and on Google or wherever you get your podcasts from. Or if you're listening on the podcast, then thank you for watching on YouTube and subscribing to Mr. Creepypasta. And a very big thank you to my patrons from patreon.com/Mr. Creepypasta, such as Dr. Strawberry, Jordan Alexander Sanchez Chumpinski, Brianna Ventine Jensen, Stephanie Van Huss, Tristan Pelton, G Weevil 3, Diane Krause, Asia, The Red Oak Shield Virus, Sandy Barney, Nico Kyle, Caleb Dugal, Daniel Polson, Dante Rao, The Last Blade Song, The Ginger Bros, Don Mewmeister, Eliminator 86, Nebsky, Sky Harbor, Finley, Steampunk Center, Rafael Rodriguez, and Optimistic Avocado. You guys are the MVPs, and everybody down there in the description, a big thank you to you guys as well. Sweet dreams, everybody.